Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
I remember brushing my hair and looking down and thinking, oh my gosh, do I have any hair left?
I used to look at women with thick, beautiful hair and think, why doesn't my hair look like that?
My thinning hair is making me feel so old.
If you want thick, healthy, gorgeous hair, then you need hair volume from New Nordic. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, hair volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier-looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with hair volume.
Since taking hair volume, the shedding has all but stopped.
Now, instead of being jealous of other women's hair, I have friends who are jealous of mine.
My hairdresser couldn't believe the difference in my hair. Now she's using hair volume, too.
Available as a tablet or delicious gummy, Hair Volume is available online at Amazon and NewNordicUSA.com or find Hair Volume in the hair care aisle at your local CVS.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Kentucky police identified the gunman in the deadly shooting at a Baptist church Sunday in Lexington as Guy House. Two people were killed, two others injured. Police say House also shot at a state trooper and carjacked a vehicle earlier. ABC News has learned through House's estranged girlfriend that he also had a history of mental illness and drug possession. Kentucky State Police Sergeant Matt Suddeth says the investigation into how he got the gun is ongoing.
I'm not going to speculate as to why he had a gun. If he had, obviously he had a firearm because of what we know, but I can't speculate as to how he got that.
President Trump announcing an arms deal with NATO to deliver defense weapons to Ukraine. The president also vowed to slap another round of steep sanctions against Russia if the leader does not get a peace deal done in 50 days. 20 states are suing the Trump administration's education department for withholding $6 billion in federal funding for education summer and after-school programs. They're asking for the courts to act quickly. This is ABC News. The countdown is on. The 2028 Summer Olympic Games in Los Angeles, exactly 3 years away. Organizers releasing a schedule of events, and logistics is a challenge.
When the Olympics kick off on July 14th of 2028, they'll begin with track and field instead of swimming, as has been customary. And then swimming will take place after track and field, so there's time to build an indoor pool after the opening ceremony at SoFi Stadium. That opening ceremony is now set for 5 p.m. local time on July 14th. The last medal events will be at 3 p.m. on July 30th. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Officials are searching for a black bear in Wisconsin after a woman was attacked this past weekend. It happened near the town of Comstock in Barron County on Saturday. The State Department of Natural Resources says a 69-year-old woman sustained severe injuries when attacked by the bear. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Wisconsin Congressman Brian Stiles says there are plenty of chances for people on Medicaid to find work. Speaking to WISN's Upfront, the Janesville Republican says he sees plenty of open positions in his district.
As you drive around communities here in southeast Wisconsin, I think we see plenty of help wanted signs. Again, it's about getting people back into the workforce and then into good and better paying jobs.
Around 60,000 Wisconsinites currently receiving Medicaid and Badger Care will now have to find work to keep those benefits under the recently passed Republican tax cut and spending bills. Trial starts today in a cold case homicide in Waupaca County.
54-year-old Tony Haas was arrested in 2022 for the 1992 murders of Tana Togstad and Timothy Mumbrew. They were found stabbed to death in a farmhouse in Royalton. Police say Haas was initially identified by a DNA test and allegedly confessed to the stabbings after his arrest. Prosecutors allege Haas admitted to killing Togstad and Mumbrew in retaliation for his own father's death in a snowmobile crash in the 1970s. Jury selection is set for Monday morning in Waupaca County. The trial is scheduled to take 6 weeks. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Tony Evers says it'll still be a couple weeks before he announces whether he'll run for re-election. During a stop in Seymour on Thursday, the two-term Democratic governor says he's still making personal considerations.
I've been doing this for 30-some years, and I've run for office, counting state superintendent. That's 1, 2, 3 times, 3 4-year terms there, 2 here, that's 5. That's a lot of time.
Evers had previously said he'd decide on running for re-election after the state budget was finalized. Primary election is still 13 months away, but two Republicans, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Milwaukee area businessman Bill Berrien, are already running. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Bright and hazy today with mostly sunny skies and wildfire smoke and winds barely moving. High temperatures today will strike the upper 80s. But with the increased humidity, it's going to be feeling more like the low 90s. Stay cool and keep hydrated. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello. Thank you for joining us for AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation. As always, we've got a lot to talk about here today on the show. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We're going to dive into markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart. In segment two, we'll take a look at the weather for this week ahead. Sounds like we maybe filled some holes that needed rainfall over the weekend in parts of the Midwest. DTN meteorologist John Baranek will be with us for that conversation. Coming up in segment three, we're going to talk with Joe Lowe about the new beef industry long-range plan that was shared at the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting last week in California. We're going to hear about that and talk with Joe in segment three. And then at the end of the show, we're going to have a conversation with Tate Bennett from America First Policy Institute. So again, a lot to get to here on today's AOA. Let's get it started with a check of the markets. Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, joins us. And Darren, hope you had a nice weekend. We started with a little green overnight here in the grains, it looked like, getting into Monday's trade after we made new contract lows again.
Yeah.
But looks like some of that's now fading as well as we work through Monday's session. What's standing out to you, Darren?
Yeah, what the first thing that came to my mind, yeah, a couple things. Number one, we can't really read much into Sunday night's open, even though it was, you know, it did immediately go to new contract lows, as you pointed out. You know, what's important is where do we finish the day? Where do we finish the week? And to me, that's going to be, you know, obviously it's going to be more important. I think it's going to be driven by weather. What we saw, you know, from the initial low through the early morning highs, there's an old saying, old thought process in the markets about a dead cat bounce. You drop a cat from high enough, you drop a dead cat from a high enough distance, it's going to bounce. And that certainly seems to come to mind, particularly like say in the winter wheat markets, or you know, a particularly hard red, or possibly even corn and soybeans, because it comes down to real fundamentals. And before you and I went on, you'd mentioned all of the talk this weekend about yield monitor, you know, guesses and, you know, projections and all of this on based on who knows what all these yield guesses are made are based on. But the bottom line is most of the people talking about this refuse to accept what the market's saying. And you know, this all is on the understanding that the yield doesn't matter. It's what the market thinks about supply and demand. And we can know, as I always say, we can know what the market thinks about supply and demand by looking at the future spreads. And that tells us all we need to know. It's not going to tell us if it's 185 bushel per acre or 195 bushel per acre in corn, because those numbers are completely irrelevant anyway to the discussion. But what we saw at last Friday's close was across the board, basically in both corn and soybeans, we saw the future spreads covering more calculated full commercial carry. So what that means is commercial traders were putting pressure on the market from basically week to week on the idea that whatever yield is that supplies are still gaining on expected demand from the commercial point of view. And that's the bottom line. I mean, and it's not really that difficult. It's just folks have so much trouble trying to get beyond just finding ways of keeping score, even when those scores are completely made up.
And to that point, it almost feels like the markets, whether it's commercials or funds and algos and all these things, some people are kind of talking about this. I know the mood and sentiment in the markets right now is not great from the producer side, but there's a lot of this feeling that no matter whether there's bullish, bearish news at all, it just feels like a lot of folks are saying that traders and more are just continuing to trade at all negative, even if it's friendly news. But to your point, you know, what's the market telling us? And right now, the market's not really giving us a reason to move higher, it seems.
Yeah, you know, the majority of this industry, those that talk about markets, one of the things I've written about recently is that everything's always bullish. Doesn't matter how bearish things are. Doesn't matter what the market's telling us, what the trends are, you know, what cash indexes are saying, what basis future spreads, all of these things from real fundamentals. Everything is always bullish. They will they will search and search and search and, you know, for that bullish needle in a bearish haystack, and they will focus on that. And it doesn't matter if it's real or not, because people want to hear something made up that's bullish. And that's just the way the industry is. But yeah, I mean, if we look at what the market's telling us, the fact that, you know, corn contracts are making new lows, that the hard red winter is making new lows, that speaks volumes about, you know, what's the actual market telling us? Because bullish markets don't tend to make new lows. We don't see spreads covering more calculated full commercial carry in a bullish fundamental situation. These things just don't happen. Now, does that mean the market's never going to go up? No, because we do know that the funds are already short, both corn, soybean, they're both short corn and wheat. And so they could start covering from the simple fact of how low these prices are could lead to a round of short covering, but it's not going to change anything fundamentally.
Well, one has to wonder, as we get down to some of these price levels, could that spur on any additional demand to help the situation? But that is that's like looking into a crystal ball right now as well, Darren.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance we could see an uptick in demand, but the problem is the U.S. has taken itself out of the global game on its own. Didn't need any help to do it. You know, the U.S. decided it didn't want to be part of the global export game, and so it's not. It took itself out, and still every week you can almost count on it. At some point, there's more threats of tariffs, and right now, the commercial side has figured out that this is all nonsense. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be threatened. It's going to be taken off. It's going to be pushed back. It's going to be delayed. It's just a game. It's all it is. It's just a game. And you know, the markets have set that aside, and they're looking at real fundamentals. And what they see is supplies are gaining on demand, which is easy to do. And what the market that stands out to me here is soybeans, and the fact that we know that we have fewer acres. We could tell that by spreads over the course of the fall and the winter, last fall and winter. But yet, despite that, we continue to see it sinking. We continue to see the supply and demand situation, the real fundamentals getting more bearish. And so that tells us that there's just simply no demand, even if supplies are a little less than usual.
Darren, final minute, anything else you're tracking in the markets this week?
It's got to be cattle. We saw, you know, this boxed beef market is just on fire as far as volatility. I think the choice lost more than $6 last Friday alone. So we need to keep a close eye on that, because we know market volatility, regardless of market, increases. Volatility increases near market tops. And so we have to be very careful with the cattle markets as a whole.
That is a good reminder, and we will leave it at that. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Always good to talk with you, Darren. Thanks for helping us get the show started today. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you having me on.
You can also learn more at DarrenNewsom.com. Again, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, joining us here on AOA. Coming up next, we talked a bit about the weather in the markets with Darren. We're going to take a deeper dive into that. DTN meteorologist John Baranek joins us next on AOA Agriculture of America.
Cats are masters at using up their 9 lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope, their hope.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. Of course, we put a lot of emphasis on the weather during the growing season. There's been some pockets of the Corn Belt that have been asking for meaningful rainfall. Did we get some of that over the weekend? I know there was some severe weather out there as well. And are we seeing any changes on the horizon when it comes to the weather forecast by and large across the Midwest and more? Let's talk about it. DTN meteorologist John Baranek joins us here on AOA. John, hope you had a nice weekend. Thanks for being with us again.
I did. I caught some baseball and some good town baseball, too. I don't know if that's kind of a thing around the country or if it's just up here in Minnesota, but there's some good town ball out there. And so we caught some of that and had a good weekend to do it. I know other folks saw a bunch of rainfall, but I had a good one.
Well, you know, town ball, I got to say, I definitely think it's a big Midwest thing. I know me growing up, whether it's youth or even some of the rec leagues and more, I know it's a big Midwest thing. I'd be curious if it's a big thing elsewhere in the country. But to your point, there's nothing wrong with that on a good summer day, watching a little bit of baseball or softball for that matter. And you mentioned you had good weather for it. Some folks, though, had some rainfall, and it sounds like, John, that rainfall fell in some areas that really needed it.
That's completely right, Jesse. You know, we've been kind of looking at Northern Illinois for a while there as, you know, they were getting rain, but it was, you know, a tenth of an inch, a quarter of an inch at a time, and then spread out with several days of dryness. And it was starting to get a little concerning out there. And we're hearing all sorts of reports about leaves rolling and everything like that. Everything's starting to kind of get a little droughty. But late last week and over the weekend, they got a whole bunch of rain. From northeast Nebraska all the way through northern Illinois, got on a pretty good dousing there. Some areas saw more than 4 inches of rain, and we did see a little bit of severe weather with that. Flash flooding was an issue too. So it's interesting to talk about areas that were concerned about drought all of a sudden have flash flooding in it. But that's kind of how summer goes sometimes, and that's kind of what we saw over the weekend. I think a lot of the folks there, even if they did get a little drowned out for a little bit, I think are pretty happy that they actually got some meaningful rainfall in there that should penetrate and last for a while, and coming at a really good time. I mean, this is when the corn's pollinating. This is when we need the moisture, and it kind of came right when we needed it to.
Well, and to that point, catching up on some meaningful rainfall, other areas have stayed well supplied with rain, it seems, here over the last several weeks. So by and large, John, it just seems again that most parts of the Corn Belt have had pretty ideal weather so far this growing season.
Yeah, it's tough to find those really, you know, those areas that are doing really bad. I mean, there are some areas that are still lacking in some rainfall, and northern Indiana now is kind of that spot where we're looking a little bit more closely like we used to with northern Illinois. Even parts of central Illinois are a little dry, and northeast Kansas is a little dry, but, you know, it's tough to find those dark red spots, in those soil moisture maps where they're really, really lacking. And, they're really concerned about how their crop is going to shape up this year. I think, you know, even if you are a little dry, you get the rain and you'll end up okay. So I don't think there's really a spot out there where we're really, really concerned about at the moment. Now, that can all change, right, Jesse? I mean, things tend to change. We're only halfway through the summer. It's, you know, the middle of July. We got a long time yet to go for adverse weather to impact crop yet. But we're sitting in a pretty darn good spot right now across most areas of the country, as long as you're not in Montana or out in the West.
I know, you know, thinking about the West, and there's been some chatter here the last couple of days about more Canadian wildfire smoke coming into the Northern Plains. I saw some pictures from North Dakota over the weekend and some fires out West as well. Any impacts from some of that wildfire smoke that you're seeing, John, in terms of the weather?
I mean, other than for humans and animals, you know, kind of dealing with some respiratory problems, if you're a little sensitive to that. Not really. It's tough to say whether or not that wildfire smoke has a positive or negative effect on crop development. There's been some studies kind of either way that show kind of positives and benefits of it, but also some negative effects to it as well. So, I mean, it's hard to say whether or not that's really a problem or a benefit. And I'm sure that, you know, if you're out there in your field and you see it and it kind of the weather changes the your crop, you're going to think it's probably due to the wildfire smoke. Could be. It could be something else, too. It's just hard to tell. But, you know, we are still going to get that for a while here yet. Up in Minnesota where I'm at, I definitely had it as well. Little, you know, campfire-y smell to the atmosphere, a little hazy in the skies there, filtering out some sunlight. And with kind of the flow coming from Canada here for a while
now for most of us here in the kind of the northern half of the country. We're going to see kind of that wildfire smoke filter in from time to time as systems pass through.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here on AOA. John, let's talk about what lies ahead this week into next week here as we are halfway through the month of July. Are we going to see any changes to this overall weather pattern that we've been seeing here for the last several weeks?
We might, but it's not going to be this week. So this week is still going to be pretty wet here for most of us, especially in the Corn Belt. We've got kind of a slow-moving front that's going to move through in a couple of pieces and little low-pressure systems riding along it. Whatever you're going to see on the weather maps, it's going to end up with some good chances for rain across really the entire Corn Belt here this week. One system is just going to be kind of slow moving this week, and then we'll get another one late week and weekend kind of doing the same thing. But there are some changes coming. You know, what we've been kind of waiting for all summer long has been this ridge to develop and just kind of stick around for a bit. We've seen them kind of developing over the course of the summer, and they may stick around for a few days, but then they move off and it's been no big deal. But underneath those ridges is when we get that hot, dry conditions that we've been kind of waiting for all summer and just haven't popped up yet. But we might start kind of diving into that here later this week across the southern plains, and that might start building itself for next week. So we're going to have to watch this. This is kind of a newish development in some of the models, and they've been wrong for so long, and then extended range, it's hard to trust them. But now that we're getting into that 7 to 10 day time frame, and they're kind of showing this ridge popping up over the southern plains here this weekend, and kind of sticking around going into August, it's a little bit more able to believe and trust at this point. So what that means is that we should start seeing Texas and the southern plains start drying out for those folks down in central Texas that have been dealing with another round of rain over the weekend that caused some flooding. Hopefully they get a little bit of a reprieve from that. But, you know, that's going to start working its way northward. Maybe not for the end of July. I still think it's not strong enough to push all the way into the Corn Belt significantly. But next week, Kansas, a lot of Nebraska and Missouri, I think we start drying those folks out a little bit and start increasing the temperatures as well. So that will be kind of the catalyst, I think, to what might turn out to be a hotter and drier August for a while here. And we'll have to see if that actually comes to fruition or if these models are still wrong. And it's just a little brief period. But that's kind of what we're looking at and seeing if this actually, you know, has a significant impact. But, you know, it's going to take a while, honestly, I think, for a lot of folks that, you know, have had some pretty good soil moisture. If we do have, you know, like a week where temperatures are kind of steamy and we get a lot of sunshine and not a lot of rain, I think we'll be okay yet. But, you know, if it, you know, keeps going through into August, then we start to have a lot more concern about it. So this is going to be something that we monitor very carefully. To see if there's any changes in this pattern, if it looks like it's going to be sticky, or if this ridge is going to move off to the west like it looked like it was going to do last week. So it's going to be mm-hmm. interesting coming up and going forward, because I think a lot of us are a little sanguine about the weather right now, but we could turn that around here as we get into August.
Well, as we know, we still got plenty of growing season left, and we're going to have to keep our eyes on any changes in the overall weather pattern across much of the U.S. and across the Corn Belt and more. I know folks can go to DTNPF.com for the latest weather details and more. DTN meteorologist John Baranek, always good to talk with you, John. Have a great week, and we'll catch up again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
You bet. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, joining us here today on Agriculture of America. Coming up next, the beef industry long-range plan was unveiled during the general session at the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meetings in San Diego, California last week. We're going to learn more and get some of the details on what was in that long-range plan from Joe Lowe, spokesperson for the Long-Range Plan Task Force. He'll join us for a conversation next. You're listening to AOA, Agriculture of America.
your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TCA3. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 37 to 1739, September down 24 to 1816, October down 15 to 1863, and November down 19 at 1851. Live and feeder cattle markets were sharply lower on the day after the trade walks back some of the big gains from last week, as the traders weren't as bullish here at the start of the week. Box beef prices were lower, also adding to the sell-off. Hog markets also following the same direction, moving lower on skepticism that demand will not be as robust as expected, even though pork cutout values were higher at the midday. August live cattle down 285 to 219.35. August feeder cattle down 585 to 319.47. July hogs down 2 cents to 106.70. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were higher on short covering after the losses from last week, while soybeans and wheat were mostly lower. The positive weather to help with the crop development and that wheat harvest. Also, lower Matif wheat prices were pressuring grains today. New crop corn up 5 3/4 at 418. New crop beans down a quarter to 1007. July wheat down 6 3/4 to 534. Minneapolis wheat September down 10 to 603 3/4.
The Durand Improvement Group invites you to Music in the Park and the Durand Business Expo this Wednesday at Memorial Park. Enjoy the music of Corey Wise starting at 6 p.m., plus learn about the products and services offered by Durand area businesses with the Durand Business Expo. Food and refreshments will be available, and admission is free. It's Music in the Park and the Durand Business Expo this Wednesday at 6 at Memorial Park in Durand with the Durand Improvement Group.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. While the beef industry long-range plan was unveiled during the general session at the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meetings last week in San Diego, California, let's learn more about what was in that new long-range plan. Joe Lowe, spokesperson for the long-range plan task force and also an eighth-generation seed stock operator at Oak Hollow Angus in Kentucky, joins us here on the show for a conversation. Joe, it's good to talk with you. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Before we dive into this long-range plan, I should ask just in general, how was your time out at the summer business meeting last week?
I'll tell you, the weather's a lot different in San Diego than it is in the southeast in the middle of the summer. I didn't take a jacket, and I was regretting it. I know there was another guy from Kentucky there, and they went to one of the baseball games after the meetings were over, and he said he had to go to the fan shop and buy a jacket. He got too cold. So it's a little different being back home, but excited to get back to work.
Well, glad you had a great time. And, of course, I know the new long-range plan was a big highlight, and you probably had a lot of conversations about this during the summer business meeting. As I understand it, this is a new plan, a five-year plan for 2026 through 2030. Can you give us kind of the general overview of what we saw in the new industry long-range plan, Joe?
Yeah, that's correct. It's 2026 to 2030. And I want to take you back to and think these long-range plans that are facilitated, they're through the lens of time. The last one, you know, 2020, we had a whole lot of different issues than we have today. I was listening to the market report you all were given before, and, you know, I think fat cattle were as low as a dollar when we did the last long-range plan. So some of the issues we were facing, we aren't facing today. And so if we want to look at it, we start off with, we start off when we look at the policy and supply chain viability. We're really looking for an environment to operate in without unnecessary regulations. That was a big one. And as I dive into these goals, I want your audience to remember these are interconnected goals. None of these were in a ranked order where they're more important than another. They all have to work together. There's six of them. And if we only accomplish five of them, we're still going to fall short. We're not going to hit the ultimate goal. The next one would be sustainable industry outcomes. The task force really endorsed the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef definition for sustainability, which is based on the three pillars of economic, social, and environmental sustainability. The goal reflects the beef industry's commitment to the continuous improvement in environmental stewardship, economic viability, and social responsibility. This specifically supported science-based producer-led practices that strengthen trust and ensure long-term market acceptance. You know, we want to be driving the conversation on sustainability. We don't want other people out there telling us what we need to do. You know, everyone listening to this is out there. They know their own operation. They don't need to be told what needs done. The next is a big one. You know, I have a little background in advocacy, was public engagement and building confidence. We're really looking to strengthen consumer confidence in high-quality U.S. beef by reinforcing safety, nutritional value, and responsible production. When we look back to when the first long-range plan was established, I think they authorized it in 1993. It was in response to us losing market share to pork and poultry. You know, consumers did not like beef. They did not like what they saw. And I know the Cattle Facts report was given right before I spoke out there. And I think we're doing 85% choice or higher when it comes to beef. You know, I gave an example in my presentation in the general session. My father traveled for work similar to these meetings I was at. And, you know, you go to a good steakhouse and it's going to be great. But we'd get back home and we'd go out to eat and say, now, son, if it doesn't say USDA choice on the menu, you probably don't want beef. You know, I'm a 5 or 6 year old and our family made money in the beef industry for a few hundred years, and he's telling me, don't just blindly order a steak out at a restaurant. I think that's very telling to where we were as an industry back then. So everything, if I heard the word quality one time when we were developing this long-range plan, I heard it 500 times. You know, the consumer is driving this whole ship for us and allowing us to operate like we did. Then the next one, innovation, science, research, and continuous improvement. The goal underscores that importance of ongoing research, investigative science, and innovation to keep the beef industry resilient. You know, we talk about engaging with the consumer, and I've had the opportunity to work with human health professionals, and they've been out on the ranches and the farms. And as I've gotten to know them, I ask them, I say, you know, what surprises you the most about the beef industry? And they go, I didn't realize how much science there was. There's as much science on the beef side of things as there is the human nutrition side. You know, they probably came out to the ranch and said, oh, it's going to be this Norman Rockwell painting. They're going to be in overalls and have straw hats. And, you know, while some of us still might dress like that, we have a lot of science behind our decision-making. And that really helps us in the policy realm and the consumer realm. And then the next one was stakeholder engagement. We see with the data side on the seed stock industry, there's a lot of data. There's a lot of information. And the ability to move that data throughout the supply chain and collaborate across segments, we really thought that can help, you know, keep those values from being too low when one segment has significantly more profitability than other segments. And also that it's kind of two-pronged. We looked at alignment between industry groups as well, you know, collaborating, whether it be the state, the national level, or national organizations among each other, to have a uniform message when it comes to what we see in the beef industry. And then lastly, of those six interconnected goals would be animal health and food safety. You know, that is the number one thing to the consumer. They want to know it's a healthy, wholesome product. And we have to make sure that robust practices, technologies, research, and partnerships are in place where not if but when something happens, we're able to nip it at the bud and not have it become an issue in the supply chain. So that would be those six interconnected goals that mm-hmm. are woven together.
We're talking with Joe Lowe about the new beef industry long-range plan here on AOA. I know folks can go to beeflongrangeplan.com for more information. Joe, how does the industry use this long-range plan moving forward for the next 5 years? How could you as a producer contribute to, you know, the goals of this long-range plan, or how could other producers play a role? I mean, share your perspective on that. Talk about that for us.
Yeah, so I'm from Kentucky, and Kentucky Cattlemen's Association does a long-range plan every 5 years, and they're due up for another one. As an organization, it is very, very specific to them, and it is very measurable goals to say, are we accomplishing this or are we not? And when talking with some of the staff members and some of the people in Kentucky, I've told them, you know, we've got to view this plan a little bit differently. Of those six goals, if you're an expert in two of them, you're doing really, really well. No one is going to be an expert in all of them. So, you know, if you're just a producer out there and you're saying, I can't do any of this, well, what if you're near a population center? Can you get with your local beef council and have consumers out and, you know, you're nailing that public engagement and building confidence role? When it comes to policy and supply chain viability, you know, everyone, when we talk policy, they think a trip to D.C. and you've got cowboy hats on Capitol Hill, but a lot of this goes back to the local level. You know, can we engage with local leaders and tell them what we're doing and influence policy on the local level to be more friendly to agriculture and the state level? I know Kentucky Cattlemen's has done a lot of the state level when it comes to the policy. And I mean, there's countless things. But the way we really look at this, when it comes to how these goals are connected and the collaboration, you know, for example, a strong policy advocacy can enable research funding and innovation needed to improve sustainability, which then builds public trust. Or, you know, we can look at stakeholder collaboration throughout the supply chain and animal health to ensure the industry has one voice and can respond swiftly to emerging challenges, you know, like disease outbreaks or shifting consumer preferences. So it's, you know, I say, you know, find what you're best at and make a contribution to that and engage with others. You know, when we look at this plan, it's a lot harder to come up with a sound long-range plan when things are good. You know, when we were in that meeting, you know, there's policy wins, the market's great. We couldn't just sit in that room in Denver back in December and say, oh, let's just keep doing what we're doing. I give the example where we're in the seed stock industry. If I give my customers the same exact bulls to 5 years from now that I'm doing today, they're going to say, what have you done the last 5 years? You know, there's always room for marginal improvement. And what I would tell those producers is, you know, find one thing you're good at and collaborate with someone else and work to, you know, move those goals just a little bit forward. And if we all work on those, we'll be in a good spot when 2030 comes up and it's time to do this again.
Joe, final 90 seconds. Anything else you would add about the new long range plan or reiterate to producers today?
I would just really reiterate that quality has gotten us to where we are. You know, I go to the grocery store. We do direct to consumer, but you know, I can't produce enough steaks that I want to eat, so I still have to go to the grocery store. I see the prices. And I'm shocked that we're not getting much more pushback than we are when it comes to, you know, $30 ribeyes, $35 fillets. And the reason we're able to have cattle priced like we are today is because consumers are saying we want steak at the center of the plate and we like what we're eating. We're going to continue to eat it, whether it's at home or at the restaurants. And so remember, this is consumer driven that is creating this demand throughout the supply chain and has us where we are. So we have to continue when it comes to quality, whether we're a seed stock producer and it comes to making sure we're not going backwards when it comes to the genetics to grade, whether we're doing cow calf and it comes to management practices to make the consumer happy with how their beef is raised,
whether it comes to health in the feedlot and carcass quality down the line in the packing plant. You know, it's all of us that contribute to that quality and the quality eating experience the consumer has. So just because you're not controlling the genetics doesn't mean you don't control the quality of that end product.
Great thoughts. BeefLongRangePlan.com for more information. With that, Joe Lowe, spokesperson for the Long Range Plan Task Force. Thanks for joining us to tell us more. And until next time, we'll get you back on AOA again real soon. Have a great week, Joe. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Once again, Joe Lowe joining us to tell us about the new beef industry long-range plan here on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at some of the wins in the One Big Beautiful Bill for agriculture and more. We'll talk with Tate Bennett from the America First Policy Institute. She joins us next on AOA, Agriculture of America.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
It's TIE Fighters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family.
The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue on AOA, USDA, of course, rolling out their farm security as national security initiative. We want to talk about that and discuss a few of the wins for agriculture in the One Big Beautiful Bill. Joining us again on AOA, she is Director of Rural Policy at America First Policy Institute. Tate Bennett is with us here today. Tate, it's good to hear from you again. How are you?
Jesse, happy Monday.
Great to have you join us, as always, here on the show. And I must say, just to start, let's talk a little bit about this national security as farm security. I know the America First Governor's Council supports this action plan. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. In addition, since we last spoke, the America First Policy Institute has put together a America First State Departments of Ag Council, and they submitted a letter, I think, with over 10 commissioners and secretaries of ag supportive of the National Farm Security Action Plan as well. So it was a hot day. It was about a week ago. We had the privilege, a couple of us at America First, to join USDA Secretary Rollins, Secretary Hegseth, AG Pam Bondi, Secretary Noem, Coach Tuberville, who told us this is just like any other hot football practice. He was going to make us run drills up on the lawn of USDA for the unveiling of this plan. Yeah, happy to get into the details, but a lot of support going into that plan. Yes, sir.
Well, let's talk about some of the details here that we've seen from this plan and more. And a lot of it comes down to prioritizing national security. We've seen the stories about foreign ownership of U.S. farmland near sensitive military sites and much more. So, I mean, just talk about some of the details in general of what we're trying to do here, Tate.
Sure. I think adversarial ownership of farmland certainly takes the cake when it comes to this announcement as far as what USDA and the administration is doing about it. It's the headline getter. But the plan is actually way more comprehensive than just pushing back on that. But under that piece, the equities that USDA has is under a statute called AFIDA, and it's basically the Agriculture Foreign Investment Disclosure Act. And they are ratcheting up reporting requirements. They're ratcheting up to the maximum civil penalties inflicted on those who don't report or falsely report. So really using all authorities to their advantage to make sure actors come to the table, because farmers want to know who's locating around them. Rural Americans want to know that too. What's interesting is after COVID-19, those origins were funny. In addition to the Chinese spy balloon, you'll recall, in 2023, you hadn't seen much of a federal response until really this administration really jump in and try to mirror what a lot of the states have done on the state level to try to tighten restrictions around adversarial influence on our agricultural supply chains. So really monumental. Some of the pieces that are baked into the plan, if y'all haven't had a chance to read it, USDA is cracking down on who is able to spend USDA research dollars to make sure we don't have any malign interests with, you know, associated with our research funding. Y'all might recall there were two CCP connected individuals discovered at the University of Michigan researching a pathogen that causes blight not that long ago. So this should, you know, put a lens on cracking down on any of those vulnerabilities. The plan creates sort of a whistleblower portal to report any suspicions of adversarial influence on state and local policymakers. We've seen that happen as lawmakers have tried to crack down on the state level on adversarial influence and ownership. You see folks trying to trickle in and water down those bills. So a live reporting line for that. I know USDA is reviewing size and scope of all security clearances for staff. They are protecting critical supply chains. They're looking in that lens at all of our minerals, whether it's fertilizers and what goes into them, and making sure we're able to adequately produce those and have a robust domestic supply chain so we aren't as dependent on foreign countries. Gosh, as well as making sure our SNAP programs, food stamps, they are not vulnerable to fraud and foreign influence. You know, we have seen billions of dollars in SNAP fraud and skimming, including overseas, which can be, you know, tracked to crime rings, you know, potentially terrorism. So making sure none of that happens with taxpayer dollar nutrition programs. I could go on and on. The point is, Jesse, this is a very comprehensive program beyond just cracking down on Chinese ownership of farmland.
Tate, we got about a minute here. I do want to ask you about some of the ag wins and the One Big Beautiful Bill. A lot of stakeholders in agriculture were happy with some of what was included. If you could point to one or two key things from your perspective, what was a big win in that reconciliation package?
Oh, gosh, what do they say? You love all your children the same? Well, I would say this, Jesse. It is a trifecta for American farmers and ranchers. Between the long-term certainty with the tax cuts and provisions being extended, between some of the Farm Bill policy that has been much overdue, and then prioritization of trade dollars in there as well. That was a big deal. And I think the third leg would be the historic reforms to SNAP that we saw in there. Wow, gosh, a lot of those hadn't taken place, that level of reform, since 1996. So pretty impressive. You know, I would say everyone knows about the death tax, but just ticking through the list, permanent 100% immediate expensing is addressed, permanent doubled Section 179. They make permanent 25% qualified business income under 199A. You name it, Jesse, they really took care and put a farmers first in the One Big Beautiful Bill. Yes, sir.
A lot of things in there for agriculture. I know folks can learn more at AmericaFirstPolicy.com. Tate Bennett, Director of Rural Policy for AFPI. Always good to talk with you, Tate. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Clearly a lot going on. Thank you, sir.
There is definitely a lot going on for agriculture. With that, we're out of time here on AOA. Coming up on our program tomorrow, we'll get a preview of Farm Progress Show with Matt Youngman from Farm Progress. All that and more tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family.
don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Many don't even know it.
I just knew that I wasn't the high-performing person I used to be. Pieces of my past are...
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Seems like back to school happens earlier each year.
First day of school coming in hot.
And this year my kids had massive supply lists.
Folders, notebooks, and pens. Oh, the humanity.
But Staples had everything I needed, with some items just 25 cents.
Watch the small print.
No. My back to school budget was saved by Staples Easy Button.
Everything for school, in stock and as low as 25 cents. Staples.
That was easy.
In store, online, and on the app. Ends 8/23 while supplies last.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump, along with NATO Secretary General, announcing the U.S. will send Patriot missiles to Europe to be delivered to Ukraine. ABC's Karen Travers says Russia could also face steep sanctions. The way